Brian Lehrer on WNYC. The Buddha meditated and achieved enlightenment. Now, psychologists and people who study the brain are saying that you can use that same practice to do better on standardized tests, become a better decision maker, even maintain mental resilience in a war zone. Dan Hurley, award-winning science journalist and author of the new book Smarter, The New Science of Building Brain Power, used his own brain as a guinea pig for this and a number of other strategies that supposedly can make us more intelligent. He joins us now to tell us how he did and to take your questions about how you too can become smarter. Dan Hurley, welcome back to WNYC.
Nice to be back, Brian.
A little different from your last book for which you were on the show, which was about diabetes.
A lot more fun, people. Everybody wants to get smarter. I don't think people would like diabetes to just go away.
So what do you mean you used yourself as a guinea pig?
Well, I decided that just researching the subject, and I spoke to a couple hundred researchers. I spent a few years traveling around the country, meeting researchers, attending their scientific meetings. But if it's really possible to make yourself smarter, I wanted to try this out on myself. So I tried just about everything that there's scientific evidence for and that seems relatively safe.
And we should say that people may have seen your New York Times Magazine piece on this, which
yes.
is why this may all be sounding familiar, even if you mm-hmm. don't know about the book. So did you do different forms of meditation?
So I tried mindfulness. Okay. I lined myself up to do – I practiced the NBAC, which is this awful mental exercise that you can do online. I joined up Lumosity and did that. I joined an exercise boot camp, one of these ferocious workout programs.
Physical exercise.
Oh, yes. I learned to play the Renaissance lute. I underwent – transcranial direct current stimulation at
Ouch.
The Harvard Laboratory of Neuromodulation.
Shock therapy?
No. It's very, very, very low dose. It's a 9-volt battery. You can't even feel it. And I tried a nicotine patch. So I was doing all these things. And
just to give you a little running dose of speed?
Nicotine, at a very low dose, you can't even tell that. I couldn't feel a single thing, but there is an enormous body of research saying that nicotine, not cigarettes, cigarettes bad, but nicotine just by itself is so interesting that scientists have noticed that, for instance, smokers are half as likely to develop Parkinson's disease as people who don't smoke.
Hmm.
Really strange, really interesting stuff going on with nicotine research. Not for the average consumer to try, I think. But I did buy from over-the-counter a 9-milligram nicotine patch.
So of all these experiments on yourself, which one do you think increased your brain power the most noticeably or measurably?
I felt that doing the mental exercises online, the NBAC in particular.
NBAC is?
NBAC is this thing where if I'm going A, B, F, R, B, F, and I keep asking you, every time I repeat it 2 times ago, press this button. Every time, and I keep going. It's very hard to keep track. And then when you get up to 3 times ago, and 4 times ago, it becomes – it's like you just want to pull your hair out if you have any hair left, which
so
I don't.
If you're doing better and better – if you're going to do better and better at
yes.
that, you have to concentrate more effectively and more effectively, right?
That's what a lot of these things are all about is close attention, working memory, your ability to really be in the here and now, which is why mindfulness meditation also seems beneficial.
Why? It would almost seem to be the opposite. If you're closing your eyes and meditating on a mantra or something, then you're kind of, letting your brain decompensate, if that's the right word, or decompress rather than super hyper-focusing.
It's not about hyper-focusing. It's not about effort per se. It's just about paying attention to what you're choosing to pay attention to. So if you're going to pay attention to your breathing or to the here and now, rather than all those thoughts that are scattering through your mind, if you're paying attention to those thoughts that are scattering through your mind, you can't take a test very well. You can't write a book very well. You can't even listen to the radio very well. Being able to be mindful is the opposite of mind wandering.
Listeners, any questions or stories for Dan Hurley, award-winning science journalist and author of the new book, Smarter, The New Science of Building Brain Power, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Is any of this a treatment for ADHD?
It started out as one of the first people to do a serious study. Torkel Klingberg from Sweden tried it out on kids with ADHD, these working memory games. There's now a program available through psychologists called CogMed, where kids sit and adults as well. And I am planning to have my six-year-old do this. I think this stuff is really useful, not just for, you know, the regular person who wants to do a little better. It's being studied in people with Down syndrome, people with traumatic brain injury, veterans who've gone through that, seniors who are trying to hang on to what they've got. There's a study just came out last week. 10 years after these folks did 10 hours of computerized training, they still saw a benefit in a placebo-controlled randomized trial. 10 years of benefit. That's crazy.
So if you're living in the modern world with all the distraction and you're looking at five different screens while you're talking to three different people and everything else that we do, but you practice some mindfulness or some of these other techniques, it will mitigate.
I think if everyone could sit in your seat, Brian, and have to do keep track of everything you're keeping track of, that would be like doing these working memory challenges.
Just watching the callers come in,
yes.
Listening to my producer trying to focus
absolutely
on a cogent conversation with you. 212-433-WNYC. Gary and Ossining, you're on the air. Hi, Gary.
Yes, hello. Hi, and thanks for taking my call. I wanted to ask your guest what he made of this article that was in the Times, I think, just a few days ago, and it was an article about creativity as opposed to just intelligence. And there was a study cited that seemed to refute the, at least in this realm, about creativity, the value of mindfulness meditation, because they said that those people, and they did a control group, those people who were meditating regularly did not score as well on things that we would consider more kind of spontaneously creative or inspirationally or imaginatively creative.
What's the theory as to why, Gary?
I don't know. And I believe it was, I'm not sure.
I think that was my article.
Oh.
Yes.
Is that possible?
Yes, because I wrote about mindfulness meditation, and what it said was that it seems to improve test scores if you're trying to take the GRE. It improves working memory, other things like that. But when you're trying to be super creative and have a quote-unquote breakthrough, mind wandering seems to be more useful. And there are many stories. The classic Eureka happened when the philosopher was getting into a tub and saw the water move, and it just popped into his mind.
And our Jessica on the Spot producer has now linked to that article on our show page. So for people who want to follow that thread of Dan Hurley's brain, go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. Jay in Chestnut Ridge, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Brian. I love your show.
Thank you.
And I think the experiment that your guest has done on himself is pretty interesting to me. My question for him is, as he was doing all of these experiments, what was his central definition of being smart, or his central definition of intelligence.
So I was going to ask him about this, too, because the title of the book is Smarter, The New Science of Building Brain Power. It's not more cognitively functional or something clinical like that.
And, you know, psychologists use very careful tests. There's been 100 years of study of intelligence. And the single best measure of what's called fluid intelligence is the Ravens Advanced Progressive Matrices. On that, I did 16% better after all these exercises that I did for 3.5 months. So that's pretty good. In real life, though, nobody cares about a test, a number on a piece of paper. What we care about is our ability to get things done. On that, all I can tell you is I felt more effective. I found writing this book seemed to flow better than writing previous books. Gosh darn it, I got along better with my family.
Pretty subjective, though. But the word smart is a loaded word. You know, there's a controversy today that some of us in the newsroom have been talking about a Yale University alumni magazine that's just out that says something to the effect of smart kids in poverty are out there but hard to find. And the pushback is that Yale should be finding them easily. But I also wondered about the word smart in that statement rather than, say, highly educated. Mm-hmm. That's an important distinction, isn't it?
It's an important distinction, but you could be highly educated. You can go through a lot of school and not necessarily be very incredibly high IQ. So definitely grit, determination matter a lot. I haven't written 4 books so much because I'm what anybody calls smart as that I am determined to do things. And that is an enormous asset for anyone. But at the same time, intelligence, I think it's become a little politically incorrect to even talk about IQ. We want to brush it under the rug. And in fact, it does matter. And anyone who's ever had a kid, when I was in third grade, I was labeled a slow learner. I couldn't read in third grade. I can remember the moment when I learned to read the word the. And then I discovered Spider-Man comic books and became obsessed with them. And the next thing I knew, I was a straight-A student. And so I think it really does matter. I remember how it felt to be labeled, in the dumb kids.
Right. But it's a lesson, this whole experience, I think, in that IQ is as much a function of experience and environment as it is something you're born with.
I think that is one of the big messages of the book, that this is not something you're stuck with just because some psychologist gives you a number or someone told you something when you were a kid. These are really noxious, hurtful notions, and we need to remember that we are human beings and we can achieve things.
Bonnie and Dobbs Ferry are on WNYC with Dan Hurley. Hello.
Hi. Thank you, Brian, so much. Mr. Hurley, this week in the New York Times, there was an article about fish oil supplements and that older people that were given those supplements versus a placebo had much lower rates of Alzheimer's, and there actually was increased brain size. My question to you is, did you do that? Did you change your diet? Do you feel that diet or supplements can also affect your brain power?
Great question. Was nicotine the only supplement that you tried?
You know, I looked at everything about food, and the fish oil literature for infants and young children is really mixed. In fact, one study suggested that pregnant mothers that were taking fish oil, that their kids seemed to perhaps do a little tiny bit less well cognitively by age 6. That's controversial, but it definitely left me feeling unclear. And the notion that fish is brain food, it sounds good. I wish this stuff was true, but I did lose through all the exercise that I was doing. I ended up losing about 10 pounds. I think that being fit is really a good idea. We know that diabetes, people with type 2, will lose brain power as they get older.
All right. And the debate obviously goes on before everybody calls in and complains. The debate will go on about supplements. But Dan Hurley will be speaking about brain training with two of the leading scientists in the field February 11th at 8 p.m. in Williamsburg. Tickets are free, but reservations are requested. Find out more at empiricistleague.com. Details on our website. His new book is Smarter, The New Science of Building Brain Power. Dan Hurley, thank you.
It's a pleasure, Brian. Thanks.